This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
The best bits of Joy Drive.
Now, I've been asking you this afternoon to tell me of a perfume that reminds you of someone, and we've had so many entries coming in, and there's a lot of people who say it takes you back to your childhood, to your grandmother or someone else, this instant transportation back to someone who wore this particular smell. I don't know, do you wear perfume? Have you ever wondered where it comes from? Who thought of perfume in the first place? Perhaps you have a particular fragrance that you consider to be you. Does it smell different on someone else? I know the one I wear, I can't even think of the name of it. Someone bought it for me. If I put it on someone else, it smells completely different. I've got so many questions. And I find that I also tend to associate certain people with a smell. You know when you get a whiff of that smell and you think of that person? Well, Dr. Magda Vayrak is a senior lecturer in chemistry at Edith Cowan University and is a fragrance expert. Magda, welcome to Joy Drive.
Good afternoon, Warren. Thank you for having me.
It's really good to have you. We're looking forward to this chat. But before we talk about perfume itself, why is smell so important to us?
Wow, that's a good question. I mean, it's interesting because we actually don't think about our sense of smell as being important. However, I have to say, with the pandemic, with the COVID being around in the last few years, and remember, one of the side effects of having COVID was that people lost the sense of smell.
Mm.
And I think that's where people realized, oh gosh, we actually need it, because to eat, when you don't have a sense of smell, you can't smell the food and it doesn't taste as good, right?
That's true.
So another aspect which people may not think about is, being a chemist, I think about it all the time, is my ability to detect toxic chemicals, so important. One of the chemicals I have dealt with was hydrogen cyanide, which is an extremely toxic chemical. And luckily for us, it does have a smell. It smells of almonds. So if you know you're working with hydrogen cyanide and if you start smelling almonds, you run.
So there's smells that are bad for us, but there's also smells that we think, okay, you know what, this one's okay, I can eat it, or it smells nice.
Yeah, it's interesting how you're right. We actually use, obviously, our sense of smell. You know, we open a milk and if it's past its due date, we smell it. And we go, oh, okay, that's gone. So many examples of, you know, we rely on our sense of smell for survival, right?
Mm. Well, let's talk about perfume. When did it all start? When did we as humans start using perfume?
Well, that's an interesting question as well. I started to look at, where was the first account, I guess, of use of perfumes. But it actually dates back to 1200 BC. And the use of fragrance materials was for all kinds of purposes back then. And the word perfume itself comes from a Latin word, which is per, and then fume, which means going through smoke or through smoke. And that's because back in those days, it was mostly aromatic materials which we used for, you know, like burning incense and herbs. So then people started to sort of put it on themselves. But actually, what's really interesting, that it's only 100 years ago, which doesn't seem that far, that perfumes were started to be made entirely of, were made from synthetic materials, not natural materials. So we started to change from using natural materials into synthetic.
So how is a perfume created? Is it just people just go out and say, okay, what does this smell like? What does that smell like? I'll throw them together. Oh, that sounds terrible. Or that one sounds really good. I'll turn it into a perfume. How are they created? What's the process in the industry? What does it do?
Well, Going back to 1200 BC was like that, where you just sort of throw things together and see what that smells like. But actually now, the process of making perfumes is quite sophisticated and very much chemistry-based. So if I can give you a tiny little bit of information here, mm-hmm. stay with me. So creating perfumes, it has been linked or likened to composing music. Because to create a perfume, you need three notes. You need a head note, you need a heart note, and you need a bass note. Did you know that?
No, I had no idea. And what do they mean?
So a head note. The head notes are composed of your most volatile chemicals, the ones that are easily converted from a liquid phase into a gas phase. So they're the ones that are derived from citrus oils, herbs such as rosemary and lavender. The heart notes will form the bulk of your perfume, and those will be derived from flower oils such as rose and lily. So they're the smells you'll really, you know, pick up on. And finally, we have the base notes, and these will be the least volatile, so the heavier molecules, the bigger molecules, and we call those fixatives, which basically means these molecules will anchor or hold on to those more volatile molecules. So they will keep those volatile molecules in the perfume for longer, so that as soon as you open the perfume, it doesn't just evaporate into the thin air. Does that make sense?
So when you spray a perfume on you, Magda, and sometimes there's an initial sort of smell that really gets you and it sort of mellows a little bit. Is that the head note? Because you mentioned that it can easily go from a liquid to a gas. Is that it evaporating and our noses pick up on that initial smell, but then it settles down?
Exactly. You're so right. So, yeah, as soon as you open it, you'll get the most volatile chemicals, which will be your head note. So depending what's in there, of course, so whether it's citrusy smell or the herbal, and then after that, so that's why people should spray and then wait a little bit, because you then want to sort of wait to smell those other chemicals, the heart notes, and finally you'll smell the base notes. It's really interesting, I have to say, from a chemist's point of view. You can actually study now. You can do a whole degree in perfume making.
That's fantastic. We're chatting with Dr. Magda Vairak, Senior Lecturer in Chemistry at Edith Cowan University, about perfumes and fragrances. Magda, when you go into the department store and you want to try or smell those perfumes, they spray it on a piece of cardboard. Does that really represent the smell of it, or does it react differently when we put it onto our skin?
Excellent question. I often, you always get that on a piece of paper, and that's a very good reason for that, is because if you do spray it on yourself, because we already have chemicals on us, so for example, you have some sweat on you, you have natural oils on you, and those chemicals will have their own scent. But if you put a perfume on top of that, you might be masking the actual smell of the perfume. So by putting it on a piece of paper, you're getting, I suppose, the more truer smell, if you like, of that perfume.
Does it last though?
It is going to smell on the piece of paper. It actually lasts for longer than on you, because you'll be touching yourself, you'll be sweating, so you'll be removing the perfume. So if you ever, well, I don't know, I remember getting, a sample of a perfume, putting it into my handbag, and even a week later, I can still smell it.
Right.
So it does last a bit longer, yeah.
When we go and select a perfume, Magda, why is it that, mm-hmm. what goes on? Why is it that we smell, and some fragrances, you just say, you know what, no, that's not me, even though someone else might love that fragrance, yet there's others, and instantly we resonate with it and think, oh, yep, this is me. This is my smell. What's going on in our heads there?
Oh, gosh, yeah, good question. What is going on? A lot of it has been linked to memory. So as you were I referred to earlier on, you had the question for everybody, you know, what is our memory of a person, you know, what a particular smell brings on a memory. And so some of the liking of the perfume could be linked to that memory. You might have had a person you liked and you remember that smell on that person. So you have an affinity for that particular smell. But you may also be allergic to a chemical that's in a perfume, and that's why you'll be put off and just can't stand that particular scent. I for one, I love anything that's a lemon smell. I just love it. I don't know why. Mm-hmm. Maybe because I actually like lemons. That could be the reason. So any perfume that has a lemony scent, I love it.
Fantastic. The big question, mm-hmm. and I'm asking this because I always used to spray mine a bit on my neck and a bit on my wrists, and then someone said, no, you've got to spray it on your clothing as well. And so I don't know what we should do. How should we be wearing perfume?
Oh, gosh, yeah, that's the right advice. Ideally, what you want, okay, when you think about it, you want the perfume, you want others to smell the perfume, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's not just you. You want others to enjoy the smell. So you do want to put it on your skin because your skin will be warm. And that will make the molecules more volatile and other people will smell it. But the problem with skin is, as I said before, you might have oils on it or chemicals that you've expressed because you've just eaten garlic. And then you might smell a little bit of, you know, you might have the garlicky perfume on. And then you put your expensive perfume on and that will mask it. So clothing, but the problem is you don't want to spray your clothes and ruin your clothes because perfumes will be a little bit oily.
Right.
So my tip is to spray my hair.
Oh.
Yeah, so because hair is porous and the chemicals will bind, hold on to the hair for a bit longer.
So I've got hair on my arm, so is that sufficient or should I be spraying it on my head?
That's a good, I guess you're right, you could, yeah, that will stay on your arms for a bit longer. But anything that, like, you want to spray it on a canvas that has no other smell, ideally.
Okay.
Otherwise, you'll be masking. And one thing, just big tip before I go, don't spray perfume or cologne straight after having a shower where you've stripped your skin of all the oil.
Oh, that's when we do it.
I know, but that's wrong. Can you put some, just moisturize your skin first and then spray it, okay?
Why the moisturizer?
Because otherwise the perfume will disappear.
Oh, really?
Sorry?
I wonder if that's why, because I find that with me, I've got very dry skin and sometimes I don't moisturize and I spray it on and it doesn't last very long. And I think, but
exactly.
When someone else put it on, it lasted for hours, but it doesn't for me. So that could be why, because the skin's dry.
It could be.
And we're not moisturizing it and doing it straight after the shower.
You need to do an experiment on yourself.
Okay.
Next time, moisturize, then spray, and then see if it lasts longer. There you go. Just a little experiment you can do.
I will do that. Before we let you go, Magda, because we're running out of time, but it's such a fascinating mm-hmm. chat, what is the best way to store perfume?
Mm-hmm. Okay, good. So we want to keep the molecules in the liquid phase, you know, in the bottle. So you want to keep it in a dark place because light will actually disintegrate the chemicals, and a cool place. So, and well sealed. Always make sure you close the bottle. So I actually keep mine in a fridge. You don't have to have it in a fridge, but as long as it's a dark, cool place, it should stay there for longer. So when you purchase that super expensive perfume, mm-hmm. don't put it near a window in the full sunlight.
or near the steaming shower.
That's actually, you're right, exactly.
Ah, there you go. Now we know. I'm looking up tomorrow, you know what, everyone, I'm going to tell everyone here at Joy, I will be spelling a lot better than I do today.
Okay, well, go for it. Let me know how the experiment goes.
We'll let you. We might have to get you back and chat again, Magda. Fascinating conversation.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for chatting with us on Joy Drive today. Really appreciate
thank
it.
Thank you
very much.
Smell beautiful. Bye.
Thanks, Magda. Dr. Magda Vairak, Senior Lecturer in Chemistry at Edith Cowan University.
Joy Drive on Joy 94.9 FM in Melbourne, Joy on your digital radio, iHeartRadio, TuneIn.com or the Joy app, no matter where you are.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.